In the Harvey Milk and Mayor Moscone in the San Francisco case, we just saw a recent film, The Times of Harvey Milk. Was Dan White influenced or programmed to shoot the mayor and Harvey Milk, or was it just his own anger?
His own anger.
All right. Were there certain elements, conservative elements in San Francisco, who were happy that that happened?
Oh, yes, indeed.
But they didn't prompt him to do it?
No.
Was Senator John Tower's plane a couple of weeks ago blown up by, you know, conspiracy?
No, there was not a conspiracy. No, that was caused by a mechanical failure of the aircraft itself.
But he was very involved with the defense people.
Yes.
And would be probably an important figure in the obfuscation game.
Oh, yes.
So, in a sense, those live by the sword, die by the sword. He got his just desserts, in a sense?
That he died, he died. But the point is, he died through that mechanical problem in the aircraft itself.
Yes.
You see, the anger of the United States concerning the events of the 50s and events of the 60s is very short term. Many people in that period set themselves up, they became extremely rich, but there is not the emphasis on what was done. More, the greater emphasis of the 90s is clearing up the mess, whether it be an ecological mess or a military industrial mess.
Rather than pointing fingers at who did what?
Yes.
The anger now of what happened in the 50s, 60s, you mean? The
yes.
Citizens in the United States are angry?
No, they're not. It matches. It's done. How do we clean it up?
Well, that reminds me of the Evergreens talked to me about my writing and that my...
Now, this next section we definitely cannot release. I've got to go forward. We've got to hide this part. Figure out where we pick it up again.
Even though we sound irrational, they're more irrational than we are.
So that was like an artistic strategy?
Yes.
As a metaphor?
Wanted to do was to appear irrational. To make everything else look itself irrational.
Why did William Irwin Thompson, who was a good friend of Spangler, David Spangler, he know they were doing that?
Oh, yes. It was well known.
But they didn't talk about it in their publicity.
This is a good section about Thompson and Findorn. Their conspiracy. So let's see if we can get back to that without revealing anything about my writing. Okay. It'll be tricky.
Did William Irwin Thompson, who was a good friend of...
They had somewhat similar to that.
Did they tell anybody?
Not truthfully. Realize that the system that they used capitalized on long days, capitalized...
Who said what and kind of gives marks here and there.
But at the same time, realize that if it's known how people can be cheated, then if someone thinks that they've got some way new to cheat, they're wrong, because it's already known.
All right. the famous case of Findhorn, where they grew vegetables and that, in
yes.
the sand or something?
Yes.
Did they have the diesel?
No, but they had somewhat similar to that.
Did they tell anybody?
Not truthfully. Realize that the system that they used capitalized on long days, capitalized on plant feeding and the like, and charred water. They charred the water using psionic machines.
Radionics?
Radionics, yes.
Did William Irwin Thompson, who was a good friend of Spangler, David Spangler, he know they were doing that?
Oh, yes. It was well known.
But they didn't talk about it in their publicity.
No, they didn't.
They talked about leprechauns.
Well, they talked about everything that was under the sun.
Why would they do that? What's the motive?
You see, they talked about spirits of the ground. They tried that technique. They invoked the spirits of the area. And plus, they used charged water.
Why would they fixate on the spirits and things like that? Why? What was in their makeup to want to emphasize that?
Two basic reasons. One is no one would understand what they meant if they would say that they invoked the spirits of the area, and they did. But trying to explain it made them appear very irrational. But no matter how they described themselves, they would be seen as irrational. What they wanted to do was to appear irrational, to make everything else look itself irrational. If we can do this with what we have, basically scrub land, basically no experience, and the big agri-business complex has problems with growing grain without massive amounts of fertilizers and chemicals, then we are right and they are wrong. Even though we sound irrational, they're more irrational than we are.
So that was like an artistic strategy.
Yes.
As a metaphor. They did actually evoke spirits. There are spirits there to be evoked.
Oh, yes, there are spirits to be evoked.
And that did help them.
It helps them, yes.
Yeah, so they emphasize that rather than the technical charging part.
Yes. But they did not use something as the D-cell. No.
Yeah, they did not use that. But would EG say was valuable as an artistic metaphor that they made the big systems look silly?
It backfired, but nonetheless, it served a purpose.
It changed consciousness. Where was the backfire element?
The larger corporations showed that they could produce huge amounts of produce cleanly and safely, even though they were using great amounts of pesticides.
Was the General Dynamics satellite last week blown up?
General Dynamics, one moment.
It was in the news a week or so ago, maybe Thursday, last Thursday. $100 million.
Oh, yes, one moment. Yes.
Now, who blew that up?
The launch director.
Why?
Problems in the second stage.
Oh, it wasn't. He wasn't sabotaging General Dynamics.
Not at all. There were problems in the second stage. Would not even reach partial orbit.
So it was agreed among the directors to blow it up.
It is one person that agrees. That's all that's necessary because it is not time for a meeting. We assure you. It is read the figures, read the numbers. Listen to the people, and within a 30-second window, push and distract.
And there was danger if it was kept functioning, you mean?
They do not know where it would go.
Right.
The trajectories could be estimated, but not with any degree of accuracy.
So that person's the only person who knows it was blown up?
No, he knows it was blown up.
No, he did it, but he's the only one who knows that he did it.
Well, that was well known.
But I mean, the people who own the satellite know that he made the right decision.
Yes.
Once it was explained to him.
Yes.
But that was not presented in the popular press.
No, not in its completeness.
All right. I'd like to go into the process that Marshall called in his literary criticism the stages of apprehension. He made a lot about two streams of art: the cathartic form of art, which was purgative, and the artist would make some kind of artistic product that would be a metaphor for an enema, a purgation, yes. Catharsis. Then Marshall claimed there was another stream of art called the cognitive tradition, which presented the stages of apprehension, stages of apprehension up to a moment of epiphany or insight or pattern that would be presented as for something to be contemplated.
Yes.
Could the EGs outline what the stages of apprehension in general would be in that tradition?
Reaching to revelation, yes. Realize that apprehension is temptation, is loss, all of those things associated peripherally with that word. You see, understand the stages were not that clearly defined. But realize that his discussion on art was not fully rounded or fully thought out. Because he saw art as a catharsis under all circumstances.
In all circumstances?
Yes, even in that second stream as a form of catharsis.
Yes.
But a different form of catharsis. It's a notation against apprehension. The one can have apprehension. Releasing it through art, one knows what apprehension is, and therefore that being cathartic in value. To Marshall, all art was cathartic.
When you say apprehension, that means apprehension in terms of understanding. It can also mean nervous, fearful, apprehensive.
Yes.
Different meanings are repeated.
Yes.
I see. Well, if all art was cathartic, why did he try to make this point of contemplation or detachment? Did he get thought it completely through?
He thought that part through, but you realize that as art was shifting, the time that McLuhan wrote this, that one could contemplate art as catharsis, but not cathartically.
Yeah. His temperament preferred the detached
yes.
mode.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about here.
Yes.
I see.
He phrased it somewhat inelegantly, but what he phrased here was the body does not think when it shits.
Did he say that in his writing?
No, not in his writing.
Now?
No. That's what he said at the time of writing, when he was discussing this with another person.
And could you say the phrase again?
The body doesn't think when it shits.
And now this was, how was this significant to him?
Significant in that you can do a process from the body, but the consciousness is not involved with it. It is a form of, quote, catharsis, which you are the observer of this, possibly the participant. But not in a state where it is causing fear and apprehension. Because it was brought to his attention that there were certain psychological states in individuals who would not allow themselves to evacuate because they would feel that they're losing part of themselves. This happens with children sometimes.
Yeah.
And he, from that, carried it forward, that one does not lose consciously, one does not lose part of self when one evacuates. So therefore, if he was looking at art as catharsis, that you look at art, and there is a catharsis done, but you're not conscious of it.
And then art is used as a product to retrace the steps.
Can be.
I mean, the viewer, the user of the art can use it.
Yes, can be.
Can be, yes. Can we talk to James Joyce? Is it possible to evoke him?
One moment. Please.
He's here?
Yes.
In Eric McLuhan's thesis, he quotes you, Mr. Joyce, as saying that Finnegan's Wake was all about describing television. Now, Eric told me he couldn't find that quote, but he thought it was somewhere. Did you ever say that?
No.
Did he... What did you mean by the phrase television kills telephony in Brothers Broil on page 52 of Finnegan's Wake?
The television destroys. It's a non-participatory. It's strictly observance. You learn nothing. Even when you think you're learning, you're not. It destroys everything.
And telephony was a word of something that was destroyed.
Yes, of communication.
I see. So now what you're talking, Mr. Joyce, is completely different the way Marshall interpreted it.
Yes.
Were you meditating on the form of television in the 30s when it was just being developed in England?
It was supposed to be the beginning of the scientific age, the fruits of the scientific age. And the scientific age, yes, the telephone itself destroyed much. So would then television destroy that? It eats its own young.
So on page 349, you have the italicized section, which begins in the heliotropical no time. That was about television?
It was about vision. You understand that every communication system eats the previous communication system, and each one is destroying communication. It says that it's enhancing. From Joyce's point, no.
But were there references to the mechanical apparatus of television on page 349?
Yes.
So Marshall's exegesis is correct in that point?
In that point, yes.
Did you, Mr. Joyce, talk to McLuhan once you met after Marshall passed away about these matters?
And disagreed.
Did you admire the way Marshall creatively used it? Used his work?
He sees television and telephone as telegraph. But McLuhan sees communication as improving. But where does it improve? What has been discussed?
Well, Marshall has talked about the disservices of our communication environments. Was Joyce aware that Marshall took that view?
Of course. But still, to McLuhan, the world changed for the better in most aspects. To Joyce, no.
So Joyce and Marshall disagree on about his own work and what it was for.
Yes.
But would Joyce have to admit that Marshall was right, as the EGs have pointed out, in terms of long-range patterns and how the world is changing?
Joyce says he's right.
Who's right?
Joyce says that he himself is right. Because it's continually destroying communication.
So he...
The words that Joyce says at this very moment are, you live in a world of a 10-second soundbite and no information. It's all content.
Would James Joyce... Are you almost a Luddite then?
Not that the Luddites had the right idea, but because they were destroying for other reasons. But there's only one communication in this world. Electronic communication, from Joyce's point of view, caused all the troubles of mankind.
And what is the only means of communication?
To Joyce?
Yes.
Writing.
What about speech?
quickly subverted. The speech starts it, the writing records it, but to the writer can say that which he cannot say in words. To write is to communicate. To speak is to abrogate writing. Reading. Says that communication is writing and reading. Mankind went nowhere until mankind discovered writing, which Joyce says was the greatest discovery of all time, because thoughts could be carried, thoughts could be used. But where are your writers now, he says? Where are they? What are your reporters? What is being reported? He says he's holding a newspaper over his head, and he's saying, there's no news in this. How could they possibly call this a newspaper? There's no news.
A modern newspaper.
Yes, there's no news.
Would he suggest turning off the electric environment then?
To Joyce?
Yes.
Of course.
Now, did Wyndham Lewis agree more with Marshall than with Joyce?
More with Marshall than Joyce. Much more.
Can I ask Joyce, now that everybody's got their computer, they're starting back at writing. I mean, I have written a number of books and articles.
What you're asking is Joyce to agree in some ways with the fact that electricity can do this.
And flip, yeah.
What he's saying is, in that part, the electronic revolution has come to its senses in that part, because writing is the ultimate communication and reading is the ultimate skill. But watching, any fool can do that at a kinescope. anyone can do that. Approximately 2 minutes.
My turn.
Just a follow-up, it's a quick one. When I first spoke to Marshall, there was a short man, I think he had dark hair. Was that Wyndham Lewis 2 years ago?
Yes.
All right, and he's Marshall gets along more with him in that situation.
In
than
that situation,
George.
Yes. Lewis is put it this way, typewriter was too slow for him.
Yeah.
Always on the lookout for a better typewriter.
The computer.
He said if he could have that, that would have been the best.
Thanks to Joyce and thanks to Lewis. I have a quick question about the homeopathic acupuncture technique I do.
Yes.
We haven't yet announced it, the study. Is there a probability time when this study will be announced for the public?
Ideally, any time past May 30th. Your choice, May 30th, not before.
Famous person.
And we're trying to find a famous person spokesperson for it. Is that a proper avenue?
In actuality, no. And the whole thing is not too much.
Yeah. And should we go through Europe, announce it in New York first?
No, we would suggest Toronto.
Really?
With Carol?
Yes. And others. Mm. And others.
But that puts the focus too much on me.
True, but this is not final. This is preliminary. The preliminary results seem to prove, just as the Beijing experiments are beginning to prove, that there can be reanimation of the human immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And that though the method itself appear unconventional, the fact that it is gaining certain result is the important point.
Mm-hmm.
And since you're working in a LD ratio of 1:1.
LD, lowest common denominator?
No, lethal.
Oh, dose.
Lethal.
Yes, yes.
It's a 1:1. One AIDS, one death. Whether it'll be in 6 years, 10 years, one AIDS, one death. If you're working at a 1:1 ratio, then the results of the preliminary testing must be examined.
I mean, how, given that there's been these delays and the last famous person died, etc., they were going to use for this project, how, what do you see as advice to Carolyn and what they could use in a way to present this best?
Best of all?
Yeah, most effectively and safely for her and anyone else involved.
News releases and a news conference.
Mm-hmm. With people involved.
Yes. Yes.
And will it go on to be patented and sold through pharmacies?
Yes.
Thank you.
Everybody, do you have a final comment at this time? Anything else they want to add to anything that you've said?
I have to tell you what Hoover says. He says, I was duped, but I did it because I believed it was in the nation's interest. And while that is no excuse, I believed it.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All people have been contacted. So unless there's any further comments, shall we end the session?
Please.
Thank you. Dear Lord, please enfold these entities in thy love and thy perfection. Amen. Please clear any negative influences from these entities now. Allow the body to become completely relaxed. Perform any healing which may need to be performed. Begin increasing the blood pressure to normal naturally and begin returning all other systems of the body to normal naturally now.
Amen.
Thank you for our session and fairly well.
We do thank you. To you all. God's blessing.
Thank you. And now I would like Michael to awaken feeling completely refreshed, relaxed, and loved. Now.
There was a 19th century toy. There was a room about the size of this room, but circular. And up across the top of the ceiling would be a mirror and a lens system that would project outside onto the circular screen, almost like a table. And people could stand around this, and this thing would rotate, and you'd see a 360 picture of around you. That's quite the 18th century thing, a heliotrope.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very good. Joyce looks at this and says, bloody fools, they could go outside and see it. I mean, they're going into a darkened room to see a picture, then and then comment on it as if it's meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
When they could be outside.
He was a nature boy.
Oh, at that point, yeah. And he says that to him, the steady decline of Western civilization was in the further and further they moved away from writing and reading. To him, that was the, not reason, right? But you can reason on paper, you can do it. But to think, you got to, writing to him was it. And
when did he die?
1941.
And he saw the television was just another one of those stupid little
indoor games.
Yeah, indoor game. And he said that what television should do is have the writing on the television, and you read it, and you should have many, many channels. This whole thing is many, many channels, and there should be a book on every channel, and you click through to find out which book you would like to have, and. His thing was to that you could call up a central library and have it transmitted to your home, to your own special receiver. That would be the ultimate of being able to. But then you have to have a writing machine. Everybody should have a writing machine. That's a pencil and paper, and everybody should write. He was a great believer in that.
Yeah, that was not an indoor game to him. You're indoor writing.
Yeah.
Why write about something when you could go out and enjoy it?
Yeah, but to him, the transitoriness of the day was concretized by writing it down on paper.
Yeah. And that's the only toy worth using.
Uh-huh. Now, Marshall, on the other hand, says, we aren't going to go back to writing and just dump the whole damn thing. We're going to expand in that area. Because whether some people dislike it or not, we do need a certain amount of entertainment value. And while if we have everybody in the world knowing something, we're ahead. The communists don't want you to know. So therefore, what did the communists do? They made sure that the telephones and television is a nothing in the Soviet Union. A nothing. Yet the most open country in the world, quote open, I think, is North America. And that thing is covered with cable, satellite, the whole damn thing. Then Joyce is looking at a word processor and saying, now here's my point. What is one of the biggest selling things about a these computers that we buy? Yes, you play games on it, but they are a writing tool. And what McLuhan says, yes, but it's a convertible tool. It can be anything I want it to be. It's a word processing program, it's a mathematical program, it's a graphics program, art program. And that's my point, is that now we have a library of sensory. But to Joyce, it writes. And therefore, if it writes, then there will be some people, not everybody, there will be some people who actually use it the way it should be done.
So he's real old-fashioned on that point.
Very old-fashioned.
I don't think BG would agree with him. They'd agree with the change.
What the Iranian say is that the automaker is becoming informed, how you become informed, so that you're going to write. And the whole thing is, everybody should be at the point of that they can make their own options, choices, and alternatives. That's to them. That's the ultimate.
Well, McLuhan would take that point. Diversity.
Diversity. We are not monolithic entities. So, and we've not been designed that. We're omnivores, herbivores, we're carnivores, we're, you name it, we've got it there. We're also multifaceted, multi-digited, et cetera, et cetera. There's an opposable thumb, and so on, and so on, and so on.
Multiple ways of thinking. Multiple ways of learning.
Well, Joyce thought that television would make everybody think the same way, because all they would get is that little 10-second thing, and that's everything they base their information on. Joyce had his own way. Hansard would be through your television every day.
Hansard.
That's the... written report of everything that's said in the House of Commons every day.
That should be on.
That should be on. One time, you should be able to. McLuhan says, "Well, no, we'd go right into the chamber and we'd listen to the words being said."
That's too transient for Joyce.
Too transient.
Yeah. So he's a stubborn Irishman on this point.
With writing, you could read this paragraph, read the next paragraph, read the third paragraph, and say, "Aha, that relates to the first paragraph," and you can go back to it.
And Marshall would agree, but Joyce is being too narrow, too fetishistic about writing. But that really makes me understand. Finning, I can see now McLuhan's projection, but I can see how Joyce wrote The Wake and see his point of view in it better as a result.
No,
of
that's neat.
Yeah,
Wake of Mankind is in through its technology. What Joyce was saying is that every technology eats up the technology before it. He said the telegraph was overtaken by the telephone, which is overtaken by this and overtaken by that. And his great thing is that he says that the number of people who take those little Nintendo games, he says they're the one of the big advances because they block out television. You can't see television. One kid is playing with a Nintendo, the other kid, if he's not interested, has to go read a book or go out and play. He says, more Nintendo games. Yeah. That's his point of view. And that's it.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.